Our scripture reading this morning is from, first of all, from John 3, 1 through 17, and then also after that, Romans 8, 12 through 17. John chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The second reading is from Romans 8, reading verses 12 through 17. "Therefore, brothers, we have our obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Here ends the reading.
As Matt Hines gave kudos to Mrs. Roop and to Joanne and Scott, and that there are times I should not preach after them in honor of Matt, I'm not going to give a sermon this morning. You did just fine. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus because Nicodemus was searching. Nicodemus had seen and he'd heard enough about and from Jesus that he was seeking further understanding about Jesus, who he was and what was he about. Nicodemus was on a search. He was on a search for God. A search for salvation, even if he didn't know that's what he was looking for. as I continue to explore the video resources of Right Now Media, I came across this 3-minute video clip that I believe sets the stage for our consideration of Nicodemus and the search that he was on. This video clip is entitled, One Road to God.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard, Captain speaking. We're going to get you out here just as soon as possible. It is pushback time right now.
It's been said that all roads lead to God. And this makes a certain amount of sense. In life, there are 1,000 different ways to get where we're going. Winding scenic paths, wide, fast highways. We can walk or ride, drive or fly. Wrong turns and detours may slow us down. But sooner or later, we make it. We get where we want to go.
Professor, let the test be seated at this time. We're landing in about 1 minute.
Could it not be the same for our souls? We all search for meaning, for fulfillment, for purpose, for God. But we come from different places. We're different people, and we don't all travel the same roads. But surely, if we try our best, if we follow our heart, if we believe in ourselves, we'll make it. Everything will work out. We will find salvation in the end. But there is a flaw in this way of thinking. The path to God is no road at all. It is a person. His name is Jesus. And salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No matter the road we choose, at the end of this journey that we call life, there stands a gate, shut fast. It is not opened for good people. It will not budge for those who lived right or loved well or did great deeds. It will only open for those who put their faith in the Son of God. Those who, in life, called upon the name of Jesus and believed him when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me.
In the Reformed tradition of the Christian Church, in the faith and covenant of St. John's congregation, we have historically held to the truth of John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus is indeed the one road to God. And one of the first people to travel the road in the study is the study of our lesson this morning, the man we know as Nicodemus. I did some research on the number of characters that are in the Bible, the number of people who are named in the Bible. And it was interesting to see all of the work that has been done to list all the people named in the scriptures. I learned that there are 3,237 different people who are named in the Bible, with 1,794 unique names. The other 1,400 or so characters share names. For example, there are 5 different Johns. There are 13 different Josephs. There are 31 different Zechariahs, all according to the biographical Bible. I did not open up the Bible and list down all the names and count them. There are resources out there to help us. The name Nicodemus is mentioned 6 times in the Bible, all in the Gospel of John. 3 times here in the chapter, in 3rd chapter, 1 time in chapter 7, and 1 time in chapter 19, twice in chapter 19. That adds up to 6. The sightings of the name of Nicodemus in chapter 7 and chapter 19 point back to Nicodemus coming to Jesus in chapter 3. There is one Nicodemus. Those six references speak of the same man because this is what Nicodemus is known for. And it makes sense that Nicodemus is known by most believers. Readers of the Bible remember his name when they hear it mentioned. Nicodemus is known to be a member of the Jewish ruling council. He's a Pharisee. Nicodemus is known to be the one who came to Jesus at night. Nicodemus is known as a Jewish leader who recognized Jesus as a teacher sent from God. Nicodemus was a Pharisee who called for hearing from Jesus when the temple guard had been sent out to arrest Jesus. And Nicodemus is the man who, with Joseph of Arimathea, the two men who wrapped up the body of Jesus and placed his body in the garden tomb. John 2, verse 23, helps set the stage for Nicodemus' late night visit to Jesus. Verse 23 reads, "Now while Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name." It's understood that Nicodemus was one of those people mentioned in verse 23. He had witnessed firsthand the power and the authority of Jesus. And he was prompted to come to Jesus with his questions. Nicodemus is most likely remembered as the man who Jesus stunned with the teaching that a person must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Such teaching has puzzled countless numbers of people since Jesus first declared this biblical truth to the man we know as Nicodemus. You must be born again. Nicodemus offers the response that anyone hearing the declarative statement for the first time offers. How can one be born again when they are old? Nicodemus is most likely, he's thinking of himself. He's already been born. He's been born long ago. The Greek word translated as old in Nicodemus's question, it speaks of being old, of an old man, of an aged man. How can one already born be born again? Another way to consider the response of Nicodemus is that he wondered how a person whose habits and ways of thinking have been so fixed by age, how can they be expected to change so radically? Physical birth, physical rebirth is impossible. But is spiritual change any more feasible? Can a person's mind, who is very set in their ways, can a person's mind change? Can they repent? Can they come to know God? What about that avowed atheist that doesn't believe in God, that speaks against God? Can they come to repentance and know God? How about that person who always needs to be in control, doesn't want to listen to the input of others? They are in control of their life. How about a person like Nicodemus? Nicodemus is a religious man. He was in the synagogue. He was one of the Jewish ruling council. He was a Pharisee. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the law. He adhered to the legalistic way of the Jews. That legalism described in Matthew 6 when Jesus talked about the hypocrites. Those hypocrites who loved to pray in the synagogue and on the street corner, so that they could be heard and seen by others so they would look good. Or that Jesus talked about those who disfigured their faces to show their piety when they were fasting so others could see how religious they were. Such Jewish leaders were religious, but they did not have a right relationship with God. There was a fault in their thinking. They were wrong. They were men wrong with thinking, and Nicodemus was one of them. Can such people change? And the answer is yes. A clear yes through the grace of Jesus Christ, the calling of God, and the power of the Spirit. Because Jesus then captured the attention of Nicodemus. There was something about Jesus that Nicodemus was captured. He was inquisitive. And so he came to Jesus at night. And we have to remember, to be born again, one has to come to Jesus. And in the passage that we've read, in their conversation about being born again, Jesus goes on to further describe what he means. And Nicodemus has his mind moved beyond consideration of just the physical realm, and he begins to think about the spiritual realm. And so we take a closer look at the response Jesus gives in John 3, verses 5 through 8. I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. Jesus' ministry came shortly after the ministry of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was preaching repentance and when he was baptizing, the coming together of the water and the Spirit. Hold on to that thought as later on we'll look at Ezekiel, a word from Ezekiel. In verse 6, Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Born again also is translated as born from above. Flesh gives birth to flesh. We have birth into this natural world. The Spirit gives birth to spirit, born from above. The Holy Spirit births us into new life in Jesus Christ. As Jesus was saying this, we have to remind ourselves that Jesus knew Nicodemus's heart. Jesus understood why Nicodemus had come to him. Nicodemus had begun to understand that he was missing the point of Jesus' teaching. And so he comes for some personal interaction. As Jesus speaks of being born again, we can understand that being born, that birth, is the way a person enters into life. To be born again, to be born from above, speaks to a person entering in too. To be born again describes the relationship, the transformation of a person, of a person's heart and mind, entering into the new realm of true faith and true belief. Not thinking that we can find our own way to salvation, but recognizing Jesus as the way to salvation. And then Jesus says in verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I find that a very intriguing verse in light of what Matt had talked about, the weather. Where I live, all I have to do is look in my backyard and look at the turbine to see which way the fans are pointed, and I can see where the wind is coming from and where it is going. But in a moment, it can change, and it spins another direction. So we might think we know where the Spirit is in a moment, but it can quickly change. The wind blows wherever it pleases. The Spirit of the Lord goes wherever the Spirit pleases. The origin and the destination of the wind. It is unknown just because we feel it. We don't always know where the wind comes from, but we do know that the wind continues to move. And so the Spirit of God continues to move. If you know of an atheist, If you know of someone that is struggling with their faith and with understanding of life, you can continue to pray for the Spirit of God to continue to move on that person's heart and that person's mind. Because there is the possibility of new birth, repentance and confession. Nicodemus experienced this in a response to the appeal of God. And there is transformation of life by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it gives entrance into the kingdom of God. It's not by legalism. It's not by what we've done and those kind of things. But it is by an inner peace, an inner faithfulness, an inner direction through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a direct act that God has given. And Nicodemus asks the question for us all. How can this be? Nicodemus is pleading for direction. And Jesus gives a response. Jesus gives Nicodemus and he gives us direction. And as I alluded to a few moments ago, we look to the Old Testament in Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 28, where Jesus knew what was going on in the Old Testament, pointing to the prophecy being fulfilled through Jesus Christ himself. Ezekiel 36, 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. The waters of baptism. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. The baptism and the indwelling, the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel goes on, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Who is doing this? It is the Lord. It's not us. It's not Nicodemus. It is the Lord God himself. To remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That heart of flesh is pliable. That heart of flesh is teachable. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. As the Spirit moves in our hearts, there is still faithfulness. There is still obedience that is expected of us. But it is our belief in Jesus Christ as Lord that we have entrance into the kingdom of God. In Ezekiel 36, 28, you will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Jesus ushers in the new covenant through his shed blood, through his broken body. And Nicodemus is receiving that new heart. Nicodemus was there to bury Jesus' body. Nicodemus had his questions answered. We don't have all of what he asked. We don't have other times when he might have gone to Jesus and talked again. But we know Nicodemus came to Jesus with questions. And what questions do we ask? What questions do we hear from others that people are asking? We have to know the scriptures to be able to answer those questions. And we have to seek the movement of the Spirit in our hearts and minds that we might know the answers, the responses, such as Jesus has given Nicodemus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. We thank you for this revelation of the need to be born again, spiritually reborn. Reborn through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and the cleansing and power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we think of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you would continue to bind us to you and bind us to one another in the unity of Christ, that we might continue to know your peace, and have the hope and the promise of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Please stand, and if you are able, and let us sing our closing hymn, which is number 371, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. After the closing hymn, please remain standing for the spoken benediction, and then the benediction in song, which will be number 569, verse 4, and the refrain of the battle hymn of the Republic. So let us sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
As Christ lives within you, may you experience the peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding. May he guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen.